Chapter 5. Mace Windu leaned forward in his Jedi Council chair, elbows on his knees, hands loosely clasped between them.
"And you're convinced that this request is genuine?"
Obi-Wan nodded. "Yes, I am." He looked at each Jedi counselor currently resident in the temple, Yoda, Oppo Rancissus, and Saisi Tin, then back to Mace Windu.
"I trust Dex implicitly. If you recall, it was his information that led us to Kamino."
"Any hint did he give you, Obi-Wan, of what he has learned?"
asked Yoda, his eyes half-lidded and intent.
"No, Master Yoda. He wouldn't risk divulging any details as we were speaking over an unsecured comlink."
"Then whatever he knows, he thinks it's dangerous," said Mace Windu. "Which means meeting with him might also be dangerous, especially if this is some kind of trap."
Obi-Wan considered him.
"He has changed since Geonosis," he thought. "Dooku's defection to the dark side has changed him, and the deaths of so many Jedi whom he could not protect. I have never known him so cautious, so suspicious, so willing to see danger in every shadow."
"Master Windu, if you're suggesting that Dex would betray me, I must respectfully disagree. The Jedi have no greater friend."
The counselors exchanged swift glances, then Mace sighed.
"What do you think, Master Yoda?"
"That in these dark times, no offer of help can we afford to ignore," replied Yoda, frowning. "Victorious we were at Christophsis, but defeated we have been at Salonia, Carada, and Garros IV. Another victory do we quickly require. Meet with Dexter Jetster you will, Obi-Wan, But precautions you will take, in case Master Windu's suspicions prove correct."
Obi-Wan bowed.
"Yes, Master Yoda."
"Go now," said Mace Windu. "The sooner we know what your friend has discovered, the better."
Another swift exchange of looks between the Jedi Masters. Obi-Wan felt a shiver of apprehension.
"Has something happened? Something new?"
Yoda sighed.
"Word we have just received, Obi-Wan, that another hyperlane has fallen to General Grievous."
Obi-Wan felt the name run through him like a lightsaber. Grievous. Part machine, part sentient, all murdering monster. Sworn to the destruction of the Republic. The Jedi.
"That makes three in the last month," said Mace Windu. "It's very bad news."
Bad. It was devastating.
"Which lane this time, Master?" Obi-Wan asked.
"The treble nexus connecting Bespin, Kessel, and Mon Calamari."
"So supplies of Tabana gas and Kessel spice are jeopardized, which will lead to civilian suffering once the shortfall of supply is felt, and those Mon Calamari who are driven home to spawn will not be able to answer the ancient compulsion."
Obi-Wan frowned.
"A bold move, tactically ingenious, and unspeakably cruel. Perfectly in character for Count Dooku and his henchmen."
Above all things, a Jedi Master was serene, never overruled by strong emotions. That was the ideal. But Obi-Wan sensed a sourness ripple through the Force as the Jedi Council recoiled from that name. The echoes caused by Dooku's willing fall were a long way from fading. He bowed.
"Masters, I'll find Dex and report back to you as quickly as possible."
He headed to the Temple Docking Bay complex and signed out a plain, serviceable city bike, one guaranteed not to attract undue attention. He couldn't help thinking what Anakin would say if he could see the dull brown paintwork, the dents, the scattered spots of rust.
"That heap of junk, Master?"
he'd demand, outraged and horrified.
"You're going to scoot about Coruscant on that piece of junk? Where's your pride? You're a Jedi, this isn't right."
10 years in the temple and still Anakin hadn't outgrown his passion for machinery or fallen out of love with beautiful speed. Probably he never would. "Pride has no place in the heart of a Jedi," Obi-Wan said aloud, earning a quizzical look from the requisitions droid on duty as it handed him the bike key. "The machine is functional, which is all I require."
"Fully functional, yes," said the droid. "That's correct, Master Kenobi. Please be so kind as to return it that way this time."